We can turn on the lights now. Children, you may be dismissed for children's church. In the dark. And John said, "Let there be light." And there was. And he saw that it was good. Very good, in fact. If you would, join with me in Isaiah chapter 6. Okay. A few things about the American church, since we're there. The American church has become apathetic. What does the word apathetic mean? No purpose, no direction, I don't care. Or someone else will do it. The American voters are apathetic. Some elections are down to less than 30% of the voting public. We're apathetic at work. We're apathetic in the ballot box. We're apathetic as a society as a whole. We've become really apathetic. Is a multi-syllable word for lazy. We've decided that someone else can do it, and someone else can do it better. And the American church has become this way largely because, why? Well, America is a Christian nation. So most people in America, in fact, there was a time when over 90% of Americans identified themselves with being Christians purely because they were born within the boundaries of the United States. Does being an American make you a Christian? Oh, well, some people are in trouble. Does being a Baptist make you a Christian? I rebuke you. If you come forward during an altar call, they're singing "Just As I Am." Does that make you a Christian? No. Walking forward cannot make you a Christian. You may not know that. If you've walked forward, you cannot become a Christian walking forward in church. You can only become a Christian walking forward if, once you've walked forward, you pray a prayer of repentance. See, it is only when we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we can come to know Him as our Savior and Lord. It is only when we repent that we become saved. It is not when we are born into this country. It is not because we were born into this church. Recently, we lost a dear member of this church who started attending here when he was one and attended here for 90 years. Now, there were some breaks in there, but he was here when he was one, and he was here when he passed away at 91. Now, he was saved, but he wasn't saved because he was born into this church. He wasn't saved because he was an American. He wasn't saved because he fought in World War II. He wasn't even saved because he was born on the west side of Cincinnati. You may not know this, but that will not save you. The American church has grown apathetic, and part of that symptom, or that disease as it were, is we no longer share the gospel. The church is in decline. The fastest growing religion in America today is Islam. Ladies, how many of you are looking forward to wearing burqas? Those are Birkenstocks. Yes. Men, how many of you are looking forward to giving up bacon? If you like your bacon, you better start sharing the gospel. Because Muslims don't eat bacon. It sounds funny, but think of the implications of this. If we as a society continue to remain silent, if we as believers continue to remain silent, the least of our problems is that we're going to lose our bacon. And that's the least of our problems. Wouldn't it be interesting if just the thought of losing our bacon might get us interested in sharing the gospel? But the very fact that Jesus Christ came and died for us is not enough. What would it take for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Little fact here. 100% of Christians were witnessed to by someone. How many of you remember the person that shared the gospel with you that caused you to make that commitment? How many of you, don't raise your hands, have been that for someone else? And if not, why not? If not recently, why not recently? Generally speaking, it's not because you're not good at it. It's because we don't open our mouth. We're like this guy. We are so afraid of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ because we don't like to be rejected. I don't like to be rejected. Even worse than being rejected, I don't want to give up my bacon or my sausage. The first step in sharing the gospel is this: recognizing who God is. Isaiah 45:5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God." So, if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory.'" This is the God whom we serve. This is the God who has called us. This is the God who we love. "I saw the Lord." So we have Isaiah, and he's in the temple. God has taken him, and he's shown him a picture of him in the temple. And the Bible says that he sees the throne, and he sees God on his throne, and he's high and he's lifted up. And the train of his robe fills the temple, and the earth is filled with his glory. What an amazing picture of an awesome God. But that picture doesn't spur us on to action. What spurs us on to action, if you hadn't thought of it before, is the fact that we might lose our bacon. or our women might have to wear burqas. Now, imagine this, ladies. Last week it was in the 90s. We had humidity at about 90%. Imagine now being covered from head to toe, from the top of your head to your toe. You get this much eye. Your wrist can't show, but your hands can show. All the way to the floor. You're going to wear that in 90 degree heat and 90% humidity. You won't be able to drive, of course, because women aren't allowed to drive in Muslim countries. You won't be able to go outside without a male relative. Of course, you won't be able to sit at the table and eat with us. And you're allowed to be beaten. That's a Muslim rule. Men, it's just as bad. Yet we are sitting idly by, and we are allowing our country to be taken over. And the entire reason it's happening is because we're apathetic in our faith. Remember when we talked last week or the week before about Jeremiah and poor Jeremiah, and he's talking to the Israelis and he's saying, "Don't you understand? It's because you have turned your back on God that I have brought people from another land and they are invading your home. Then you will learn your lesson." Jeremiah preached that for years and years and years. Ezra, Nehemiah, Isaiah, on and on and on. We have all of the prophets who always taught the same message: be obedient to God or God will punish you. Not because he likes to punish people, but because he so desires a relationship with his people. But just like in America, we don't vote because, you know what? My vote doesn't count. Oh, I can't really change things. You know, things aren't so bad. I have air conditioning. I have gas in my car, food on my table. All in all, things are pretty good for me. And so we don't vote. But the reason things are good for us is because our parents voted. And because their parents voted. And because their parents voted and thought that that was important. See, what happens is over time we forget what is truly important. The second step in sharing the gospel is this. The second step in sharing the gospel is seeing ourselves in relation to the Holy One. Romans 7:24 says this: "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul had a good picture of who he was. Now, think of Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And Paul refers to himself, "Wretched man that I am." Now, compared to others, he was pretty good. He wrote most of our New Testament. Neat guy, loved the Lord, prayed. Unbelievable speaker, very effective evangelist, referred to himself as, "Oh, wretched man that I am," before he went out and asked for $65 million to buy a plane. No. See, we have turned our country upside down. We have allowed our country to be turned upside down. And when our country is turned upside down, our thinking has gone with it. Our politics are upside down. Our relationships are upside down. Our church has turned upside down. Christianity today is not what Christianity looked like 50 years ago. or 60 years ago? Do you realize that 100 years ago, if you missed, well, it wasn't even 100 years ago, if you look back in our records, if you missed church 60 years ago, maybe the 40s, 30s, if you missed church on the next Sunday that you came to church, and it had better be the next Sunday, you had to come up in front of the whole church and explain your absence. I am not vying for that, just so you know. But it was called accountability. We don't have accountability anymore. We're too private. I don't owe you an explanation. But because we don't have accountability, we don't have depth of relationship that leads to transparency. If you're here this morning and you're a sinner, raise your hand. Just in case, you leave your hands up for a minute. Just in case you thought you were the only sinner here this morning, look around, because everybody has their hand up, except the liars. Amen? Have you ever felt, and I know you have, like you're the worst of the sinners? That you're the lowest person on creation? How could God create you? Last week, a pastor shot himself because his name showed up on Ashley Madison website. He taught at a seminary in Louisiana. He had taught there for many years. He had a doctorate in theology. He was a pastor of a church. His name showed up on Ashley Madison. He went home and he shot himself. His daughter was a college professor. She received the call about her dad from her mother while she was teaching a lecture in a university. The son came out and said there was nothing that he couldn't be forgiven for. Nothing was that bad. And yet we see ourselves as the lowest. So low that our suicide rate is off the charts in the United States. We are a free country. We don't wait in line for groceries. We have medical care. We can go to the doctor whenever we want, 24/7. You go to the emergency room. You might have to wait, but you know what? Somebody will see you. And they'll give you medicine. We have air conditioning. I like air conditioning. It's my friend. It's my wife's enemy. I like 30 below. She likes 130 above. Luckily, God made man the head of the household. Buy a blanket, right? She did buy a blanket, by the way. It is a good life we lead. Even the poverty-stricken people in America have more than some of the wealthier people in other countries. Why is our suicide rate off the chart? Our lives are not miserable. We have indoor plumbing. We have cell phones. If you can't afford a cell phone, you can get an Obama phone. Right? If you can't afford food, the government will provide you food. Our lives are good. Why are we killing ourselves? Because we see ourselves of no value. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." I don't understand, because 20 years ago, our government started this push. We want to build self-esteem in our children. No more trophies. Everybody gets a trophy. Nobody fails. We don't want to tell a kid that he's a failure. We want to build self-esteem. Suicide rate goes higher. I don't understand. We're giving him self-esteem. What we're not giving him is Christ esteem. We're not telling people that, you know what? Even when you don't feel good about yourself, you're important to Christ. So important that he died for you. See, we don't have value in and of ourselves, but we have value in the eyes of God. But we don't tell that story. And part of the reason we don't tell the story is because many of us, even in church, don't believe it. Because the suicide rate in church is almost as high as the suicide rate in the world. Do you know why that is? Because pastors don't tell the truth. Pastors tell you things that make you feel good. They don't want to say mean things from the pulpit, like, you're a sinner. You know why pastors don't like to tell you you're a sinner? Because they're sinners, and they don't like how that feels. But you know what? You cannot feel the exhilaration of salvation unless you have felt the depths of being lost. How can you know what it feels like to be rescued if you've never been in danger? If you don't see yourselves in relation to God, you can never understand the depths of sadness he felt. Where he had to go to say, I will give my son for you. The third step in sharing the gospel is this. It's knowing where we have fallen short. Or knowing that we have fallen short. Romans 3:23 puts it pretty clearly. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Loser. Right? That's what we feel like. We mess up and we think, oh, I'm such a loser. Yes. Bingo. You got the right answer. If it were a Jeopardy question, you'd be the winner of the day. You're a loser. I'm a loser. Jesus said, but guess what? I stepped in for you. But so often, if we deny who God is, if we don't see him in his glory, if we don't see God for who he is, and we can't see ourselves in relation to him, we don't have any ground, any foundation to believe that we have fallen short. See, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And see, what does Isaiah say? That his glory fills the earth. See, we have fallen short of his glory. No man has even seen his glory. It is so tremendous, so overpowering. But we have no concept, and even if we have a concept, we let it die. We don't leave it here in our mind. And the reason we don't is because, well, God might ask us to do something embarrassing. How many of you have ever been asked by God to do something embarrassing? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to be embarrassed in church. Might not come back. Heaven forbid. God might ask you to do something embarrassing. You say, well, he might call me to be a monk. Then I have to give up bacon anyway. I don't know. I don't know if monks eat bacon. I guess it depends on what kind of monk you are. I don't know what God has called you to do, but I do know this. He's called you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is not a person in this room who goes by the name of Christian who has not been called to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone. Because that is a universal commandment. Amen. Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah says this, "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost." He saw the glory of God, and his response to God's glory is, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And in relation to him, I have fallen short." His response is, "Woe is me. I have sinned." But that is not the response that God gets in churches today. Pastors want you to feel good about yourself. I want you to come to church. I want you to leave feeling good, because if you leave feeling good, you'll come back because you want to feel good next week too. I want you to leave feeling good. More importantly, I want you to leave feeling fed. I want you to know that the reason that Jesus Christ died for you is because if he had not died for you, you would spend eternity in hell. And even though he has died on the cross, if you do not know him as Savior and Lord, you will still spend eternity in hell. And there is someone in your circle, whether it's in your family or in your friends or at your work or somewhere in your circle, that is going to spend eternity in hell. Is it because you haven't opened your mouth? Because God said that he has an expectation of us. And that expectation is that we share the gospel. The fourth step in sharing the gospel is knowing what God has done for us. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal," Isaiah 6, 6 and 7, "that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.'" See, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. When I was young, we was Poe. And I think it was who's the country western singer? She's about this tall. Dolly Parton said the same thing. We was Poe. We weren't poor. Poe is poorer than poor. So we was Poe. Well, we was Poe too. My dad was a painter, and my dad went out and bought, and I've told this story a few times, but bought a new pair of painter's coveralls. What color are painter's coveralls? Why? Really? Why? That is so stupid. But okay. Some painter somewhere decided white coveralls was the way to do it. My mother was a young bride from Indiana, and we all know they're, well, yeah. She washed his coveralls with a red shirt. What color were my father's coveralls then? My father is bigger than I am, huskier than I am, shows up to the job wearing pink coveralls. All real men wear pink, but not in the 60s. No. They wore mustard yellow and bell bottoms. But that's okay. Think of this white garment. By the way, never been worn white garment that now is pink. See, Jesus put that garment on. Because when he died on the cross, he died without sin. And he took on himself the sin of the world. Your sin. That thing that makes you the scum of the earth no longer belongs to you. If you know Jesus Christ, that thing that you did that was so bad that you hate yourself and you think that everybody else hates you too, and it's so bad that you're thinking about taking your life, that no longer belongs to you. He took it away. He took that on himself, and he turned his white coveralls pink because he took our pain and our sin and our humiliation and all of that guilt and all of that muck away with him. He said, "For your sin, I died." Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, but the free gift of God is eternal life." Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners," not until you get it right, "while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's what he said. When you were at your worst, Christ died for you. Somehow, and I've got to tell you, you all know my struggles. I struggle with depression. I struggle with anxiety. Getting this message into this thick head is the hardest thing in the world. I see it on paper, and I can preach it from the pulpit, and I hear it. But getting it in here is the hardest thing. You know what the number one cause, I think, of depression is sometimes? "O wretched man that I am." Seeing myself in relationship to God, at least seeing myself as I truly am, but forgetting the one important piece where the seraphim takes the coal from the altar with a pair of tongs and comes over and takes away the sin and atones for that sin. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.'" The greatest thing in the world is that our sin is atoned for, and we have this secret little society because we don't want to share that. Why don't we want to share that? Why don't we want to tell the world that Jesus died for them? Why don't we want to tell our family or our friends or our coworkers? "Pastor, they will think I am weird." You all know what's coming next, right? They already think you're weird. And they're right. Amen. It's true. They think you're weird. There is something weird about each one of us. Amen? In fact, some of us have a lot more things weird about us than probably we deserve. But all of us are different. How many of you, after visiting with friends, are just glad to get home? Right? I love visiting with friends. I love going home. How many of you get home from vacation and say, I just need a vacation? Even my kids don't want to live with us. That's how weird we are, right? Some of you are less weird, and your kids still live with you. See, Tish and I did weird right. Put that on a bumper sticker. I did weird right. My kids don't want to live with me. John 14:21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Whoever knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. Well, his command is, go into all the world and share the gospel. Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, if he commanded us to do that and we're not doing that, and he says here that whoever knows my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. See, it's not just that God says, I want you to do this. God has told us, I am putting it on your shoulders. You have a responsibility as one of mine. There's something you should be doing. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to choose justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. What does it mean to walk humbly with God? Oh, to let him lead. To do what he says. See, humility isn't weakness. Humility is being strong enough to be led. It's not weakness. He says, choose justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, to this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. See, God has a calling on your life. And by the way, God has this little secret. If he has called you to do something, God is going to gift you and enable you and empower you to do it. And he does have a calling on your life. If you say, you know, Pastor, I just don't know what he has called me to do. If nothing else, he has called you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone you know. And he gave you a mouth to do it. And I go on Facebook, posting on Facebook, click this and share if you love Jesus, does not equal sharing the gospel with somebody you know. You have to open your mouth. You have to tell them what Jesus has done for you and start out like Paul, "O wretched man that I am, guess what I really am?" Because we get up in the morning and we put on deodorant. You put on deodorant so you don't. That's right. But you know what? Without that deodorant, you do smell. I do too. If you don't brush your teeth, your breath stinks. You don't comb your hair, you look like Medusa. You don't dress up, you can look like a homeless man in 30 minutes or less. Or a homeless woman, bag lady, whatever. We go through great lengths to appear better than we really are. Amen? So then how does the person sitting next to you at work or standing in front of you or behind you at the grocery store really know who you are unless you tell them. Because we're no longer a transparent society. Do you know your president? No. We don't know anything about him. We don't know anything, I'm not picking on Obama, about any of our presidents. They pay millions of dollars for people to hide the garbage about them. Because for some reason, we think we're electing someone perfect. That's not true. But on this level, we need to be willing to be transparent. Because in our transparency, we can show people what God can do. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Deuteronomy 11:26. I'm going to end with this. I'm sorry I've gone so far over. I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today and go after other gods. It's a little bit different. We're under the New Testament. You say, Pastor, we're under the New Testament. We're not under the Old Testament, so we're not going to have to suffer that fate. They are pouring in our borders. They are coming from every country, from every faith, from every walk of life. I am not anti-immigration. I am not even anti-Muslim. I am anti-Allah because Allah is not God. And anyone who tells you different is lying. The Allah that the Muslims worship is not our God. And anyone who tells you different is lying. They have been deceived. But we are being told to be quiet. And we like that. At least we're very good at it. How long will we be quiet? Will we remember? Will we continue to be quiet until it's too late? We're quiet as our brothers and sisters all over the Middle East are being slaughtered by ISIS. We sit quiet. Someday, that will be Los Angeles. Someday, New York. In fact, look it up. You'd be amazed how many murders in America have happened because of Islamic extremists. Only they're not extremists. That's what the Quran teaches. And the reason that Islam can gain a foothold in America today is because we're disobeying what Jesus asked us to do. But the greatest tragedy is we are keeping what he has done a secret. O wretched man that I am, that the King of the universe would send his son to die on the cross for me. And I will keep that a secret. Next week is National Back to Church Sunday. Share your secret. Let somebody smell you. Smell your breath. See who you are. Share the secret with someone that Jesus died for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be a people that love you enough to share the gospel. Father, help us to be a people that will be more transparent that will share who we are. We cannot afford to be quiet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This little light of mine, this little light of mine, this little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Don't hide it.
I hope I see you out here tonight. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make, come on, Kyle, play it, run successful. Come on, Kyle, from the cradle to the grave. KJ, brother, watch the curve, the hills and tunnels. Ever. Hope I see you there. Y'all come back tonight.